This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Hey everybody, this is Phil Town.
And this is Danielle Town.
My daughter, Danielle Town.
Y'all gonna...
Who I'm so proud of. I mean, you've really shown an incredible amount of character here during this long COVID thing. It's amazing how you're handling
thanks.
This. What a struggle you've been in for 2 years plus now.
And yeah, I don't like that
slowly
time
getting,
frame, but yes. That's
slowly getting better, slowly getting better, slowly getting better, doing everything, super disciplined. Wow. You should, at the end of this, when you're really feeling comfortable, you should write this up. It's
thanks,
a book.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. I have so many, like, thoughts about it, and certainly for the first 6 months or 8 months, I was saying like, "Oh, I'll definitely write about this. I'm learning so much." And at some point, I just stayed sick, and it just gets so long and so hard. And it's like almost for my own like mental health, I had to stop thinking like, "Oh, when I'm well," because it's going to happen so soon. The way I was thinking in the beginning, so I've kind of stopped thinking those thoughts of like, when I'm well, I'll do XYZ and I better be prepared because that's going to happen. Like, and I'm more in the time frame of like, let me just try to get well.
Right.
And I learned a lot of that when I was inpatient at the clinic/hospital of like how to kind of think about this in a way that makes it easier for me to make healthier choices that don't make me worse, make me more tired, make me more brain tired and fatigued. So anyway, I don't know. I just have no perspective on this experience. That's how I feel. I have no perspective.
Have you?
I'm very much like in it. Like I'm under the surface of the water, desperately trying to swim into the light, and it's still really far away. That's how it feels.
Have you ever read Viktor Frankl's book on his experience in the concentration camps? Man's search for meaning. Right.
I don't think I ever read that. I've heard of it, of course. So I don't think I read it.
I really think you maybe should take a look at it. Essentially, it's God, what is it? It's a question of, you know, the meaningfulness of life and all, but the essence of it is that the people who took too optimistic a view of what was the Jews who were there, they took too optimistic a view. They died.
Because I've read that.
There was a length of time over which you could sustain this optimism. And then when that time passed, it was lights out. And
that's quite interesting that jogged your memory.
Yeah.
Because is definitely kind of the process I've gone through.
I think you're learning something that a lot of us could learn from. Honestly, it's like dealing with adversity that isn't short term is something that I think, you know, our generation hasn't really had to deal with that much, and neither has yours at this point, but other generations have. I mean, many, you know, all through the history of the world, there's been really long periods of time where there was enormous suffering and difficulty, and those who sustain themselves psychologically through that kind of time period had a particular point of view that worked. And I think you're learning that point of view somehow without having a mentor to teach you or a philosophy professor to argue that this is the way you should behave or think. I don't know. It's sort of a bit stoic, you know? I was thinking of just Greek philosophy. It would be that direction, I would think. In the direction of don't have too high a view of where things are going to be, or too low a view of how things are when things are bad.
Right. Exactly. Know? Exactly.
I don't know. Somehow maybe that's something I may have learned some of that coming out of Vietnam. I lived essentially in a bag for almost 13 years and was, you know, except
a sleeping
for the time
bag, you mean?
No, like a rubber bag that we used for river trips. Well, first, you know, the first 4 years
I was in
the
Army. You lived
in
a bag?
I mean, all the things I owned were in one
like
one
out of, like out of
bag.
A bag. Okay.
Yeah, I lived out of a bag. Yeah, not in the bag. And for much of that time, I was, by today's definitions, homeless.
Yeah, you talked about that last time.
Yeah.
This is so on your mind.
Well, I don't know why, but it's definitely interesting to me that you have kind of arrived at a psychology, or I guess a psychology? That's a study of psychology. What would it be? A mental state or an emotional state that is capable of a long race, you know?
Perhaps. Yeah.
And I'm thinking
I think
is,
there's it like it's sort of a strange it, like I said, I have no perspective on it and I have no real ability to talk about it cogently because I'm just sort of trying to feel my way through it.
Right.
And I think that there's when I have talked to people about it, it sounds quite depressing. Like the words sound the experience is not depressing, but the words sound depressing because it's like what's been very helpful is to give up hope. And not give up hope 100%, but give up a lot of the hope that I had that, you know, in 2 months I'm going to be much better, or in 3 months I'm going to be much better, or in a year I'm going to be much better, or there's no way this can go over a year and a half, you know, or just whatever. Or like, I'll find the right doctor, or I'll find the right medicine. I have a I have a headline that I made for myself probably a year ago. I printed up for myself that says the New York Times, and the headline says, after complete recovery from long COVID symptoms, Danielle Town has better brain function than before, say University of Zurich neurologists. And then I awesome. Wrote a little like intro paragraph about how I'm being studied because my recovery has been so incredible and that people are now trying to get COVID so that they can have an outcome like mine.
Oh, I like it.
And I've had this on my bulletin board for a year at least, because at that time I was like, yep, I'm all in. Like, it's mind over matter. This is going to happen and I'm going to find the cure. And everyone's going to be like, how did a non-trained scientist find the cure? This is unbelievable. Like, Nobel Prize. Yay. Everything's amazing. And I was absolutely certain that that was what was going to happen and I was going to make it happen. And I've slowly, lost that desire, I guess, and feeling that like this is going to turn into something great. And through doing that, which that's the part that sounds really depressing, like it sounds really bad, but it's actually kind of given me the freedom to accept what's happened and where I am today. And I think before that, I kept on striving to be like the old me, like the healthy me, like, you know, committing to projects and saying like, yeah, I can do that Zoom meeting with you and I'll do that interview and I'll write a book about this experience. And I think I was actually kind of harming myself. I wasn't getting the rest that I needed to recover, maybe. I'm not sure. We'll never know. But maybe if I had done something differently back then, maybe I would have gotten a little bit better faster. I don't know. But certainly, like, the doctors at the clinic I went to were very, very strong on me finding my blind spots in the choices that I was making as far as, like, energy output and observing the consequences of my actions.
Mm-hmm.
Which is very hard to see when it's just you. It's very hard to see outside of yourself. So it's really helpful to have experts say, like,
I think that may have been one
when
of
you
the
went
things
for a walk yesterday, that was not a good choice because you know that walking for an hour is way too much, even though it was so wonderful to be in the beautiful Swiss Alps.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So
I think honestly that there's one of the things that Frankl talked about that got him through this whole thing in the concentration camps was to take your attention away from your symptom, if you will. So paradoxically, right, from what you were just saying, it's like to be hyper aware of the blind spots. But on the other side, flip it over and stay away from and sort of draw your attention away from your symptoms into something else. And this is where I think he found the idea of meaning, a sort of self-defined, a pursuit of sort of a self-defined meaning in your life, something mm-hmm. bigger than you.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think when people get, one of the things that is you can get so wrapped up in the problem that you just spiral in. And I don't know, it'd be worth reading the book, I think, because there's another thing that occurs to me. It's like a lot of what challenges us in life can be, you can become obsessive about it to a point of damage, I think. Certainly the case in investing, when you become so obsessed with it. And I've seen that a lot with students that are just getting started and they realize suddenly that there's this possibility out there to change their lives financially. And they can become obsessed and just completely so deep in the weeds, they lose track of the forest, completely lose track of the forest.
Mm-hmm.
And the result of that is doing way too much and getting wrapped up in way too many things
mm-hmm.
to a point of missing the whole strategy that has made the most millionaires, which is just being patient and not trying to push something ahead of its time, just being extremely patient and find other things to do while you're waiting. I mean, other things to read, other things to explore, away from, you know, these companies that you've already done the research on and you're waiting to buy.
Mm-hmm.
And not get so tangled up in it that you sort of miss your opportunities. And what happens is people will get invested in things that aren't the best things, and the money is then wrapped up. And when
just
the big opportunity
something.
Comes, yeah, to just yeah. be doing something.
Yeah.
And when the opportunity really comes, they don't have the capital, or they didn't put their attention on it properly, or you know, and that's what I think is super important about this. And maybe there's something from Frankl that would feed us a little bit as an investor. So just, you know, don't forget you're not here to make money. You know, that's not the purpose of life any more than the purpose of life is to be healthy. You know, that's not the purpose of life either. Those are both preconditions for handling what you're here to do.
I mean,
money,
what?
Certainly health, but so I think money too, a big issue, right? Those are the two big issues that people have that block them in ways from doing what they're here to do.
What resonates with me from what you were saying about the book, and then my just thinking back on like my experience, I think I was very focused on the results, actually. The result being like getting well, getting well, getting well, getting well. How do I get well? What do I do? What do I take? How do I get well? And for people who are in such a horrific situation as a concentration camp, maybe there's something there of like, the people who had the hope were focused on the outcome, which is I'm getting out of here. I'm getting out of here. I'm getting out of here. The war is going to end. Well, somehow I'll escape. I'm getting out of here. And maybe the people who were more focused on, like I said, acceptance and more of the, what day to day is the wrong description, but where you are right now and how to maybe best handle that. I'm not sure. Has certainly, it sounds like what he described, and it's certainly what I've found to be more helpful. Spend less time looking ahead, more time focused on today, and maybe tomorrow. That has been very helpful for me. And actually, I've thought quite a bit about how this can make my investing better, because I always think everything about how to make my investing practice better. And I think one thing that I've observed is that back when you like first started, when we first started this podcast and you first started talking to me about investing, and you said your famous line of how scared can you be? Nobody's shooting at you. And I was like, all right, I get it. But that's come into my mind because I haven't had anybody shooting at me. I've had like the death of my life as I know it happen right to me, and the fear that I would not get my brain function back, which is like extremely scary to me.
Sure.
But so go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. I was just thinking there, this idea of being in a really terrible situation and finding a way through it. You know, there's a kind of levels to this. It's almost like the people who you know, focused on optimism died in the concentration camps, according to Frankl. The people who found a kind of what you were just saying is like, you know, just acceptance of the situation seemed to be better.
Yeah, and I feel like that's not quite the right word, but so I'm saying it kind of like something like that. But yeah, it's kind of that. It's not, you're not saying like things are okay. Things are not okay.
Well, I was going to say things are not okay in that view. And then there's the whole other level, which there's this wonderful book called And There Was Light, and it's really worth reading. It's a memoir of a blind French resistant teenager who was thrown into Buchenwald after, I think, a couple of years.
Oh, I have not read that. When were you on your concentration camp reading kick?
This is just stuff from over the years. I don't even remember how long it was I read Man's Search for Meaning. It was years and years ago. And There Was Light, I think I read 15 years ago, maybe, but it really stuck with me because this guy started a French resistance group among a group of high school guys that he knew. And he was
blind at the time?
He was blind. Yeah, he was blinded when he was 8 years old in an accident. And he, as the group got bigger, what they were doing is publishing anti-Nazi stuff in Paris. And the Nazis were obviously looking for them. And he would feel the new people who wanted to join and help. He would feel them out. And he was the guy that said yes to people or no to people. And he was so accurate for many years. I think it was 2 full years. And then he made a mistake. And he brought in a collaborator, a Frenchman who was a German collaborator. And that guy turned them all in, and all these guys went to Buchenwald. And I think of all of the people went to Buchenwald, there were something like 3,000 that were rounded up in that whole thing. I think and I could be wrong about this, but it's roughly 30 of them survived the whole thing.
Wow.
And he was one of them. And his experience was all the way to the other extreme, from these optimists and then the acceptance group. His experience was that the Germans, he was blind, so the Germans stopped feeding him. They wouldn't give him any food. They just wanted him to die. Mm-hmm. He wasn't useful to them. And he basically ended up on his deathbed, and then light came into him. And it's been a long time since I read the book, so I'm paraphrasing badly, but the light came into him and he got off his deathbed and spent the next, I think it was 2 or 3 years, tending to people and helping them. And was this kind of savior in this place. And he, wow. And the whole time he's describing it as living in bliss.
Hmm.
Just waves of bliss.
Mm-hmm.
Like the most wonderful time of his life,
mm-hmm.
which he wrote, you know, years later. Hmm. So, wow, what an experience. What a range of experience is possible for human beings, right?
Yeah.
And I, you know, the thing is, you can't force yourself into his situation. That to me is something that just happens. It's like you're at that level of evolution and it just clicks in. And I don't know how else to describe it other than karma and evolution.
Well, and it sounds like, you know, not wanting to say what he was feeling. I have not read the book. It sounds like he fully let go, you know.
Oh,
I'm dead anyway. So
yeah. Yeah.
Here I am.
Yeah.
You know?
Here I am.
The fact that I'm breathing right now. Use me. Exactly. I can go help that person over there. And who cares if I die on the way? Because I'm dead anyway.
Right.
And maybe that's this sort of like radical acceptance feeling. And what I was going to say about you getting shot at and like the stress of investing being nothing compared to that is I now have some sense of that. Now, like the stress of being afraid of losing my investment money is like, okay. I mean, it still bugs me. I'm not going to say I'm like, oh, everything's fine now. But there's a lot worse things that can happen. And I get it a little bit more now.
And I think maybe the what I try to convey here is my sense that your investing success doesn't require you pushing to get it,
mm-hmm.
like the kind of being overly optimistic and pushing.
Mm-hmm.
It requires a kind of an equanimity, a kind of a quietness. Charlie calls it patience, you know, but I think it's a kind of internal quietness. And that comes from, first off, accepting your situation where you are. And next, maybe realizing that you're on this journey over which you have some control, but not all mm-hmm. control. You can't force it to happen. You can follow the path, but it's going to be your path ultimately that you're going to be on. And having that kind of equanimity, that kind of emotional patience, that sort of balanced centeredness, if you will, is just really, really important to the whole process. And I think good investors that I know would agree with that. You know, I think that's a good thing to know. It didn't get us down the path toward picking a company today, but I think maybe that's a good thing for you guys to think about is emotional centeredness is key to this whole process that we do.
It is. And I will just add to that, having been up and down the spectrum, it's not like, I just don't want anybody listening to this to go like, oh, well, I don't feel centered, so I guess I'm not as good or something. It's all over the map. Like, we're all over the map.
Sure.
And it's fine to feel completely depressed and completely on top of the world. And somewhere in there is that middle ground of knowing that, I think maybe it's like accepting that things will change. The bad times are not necessarily always going to be there, and the good times are not necessarily always going to be there.
I mean, think about it, maybe like riding a horse, you know, just you're just learning and you're going to be all over that saddle, forward, backward, left side, right side. You might fall off. But there's just a few things you do to get better, you know. You try to stay centered, keep your heels down, you know, just try to stay centered, keep your heels down, and just keep coming back to that. It's like, I'm not centered on this horse. I've got to find my way back to that and get
myself in the
saddle.
And then at some point you realize your horse sucks and you just need a new horse.
Which is why, of
course,
that's
okay too.
It's why you want to be on the right horse, which is in investing, it's the right path. You're on the right path, you guys. You're definitely on the right path. And what Danielle said is so true. You're going to be all over the place. But just keep coming back to these basic principles. Understand the business. Make sure it has an intrinsic characteristic that protects it from competition. Make sure you trust the management team and find a good price to buy it at. And then just keep coming back to that over and over again.
Way to haul it back to the topic, Dad.
And we should probably stop right there. It's pretty,
thanks,
that was
everybody.
Pretty touchy-feely today. All right. We'll see you guys next time. Time
Bye.
To play. See ya. Hi, guys. Thanks for listening to Invested. If you enjoyed this episode and you want more information or to listen to additional episodes, visit our website at investedpodcast.com and sign up for my virtual workshop right there. Spots are definitely limited for this event. I'm not kidding. They really are. They sell out very quickly. So everything discussed on this podcast, by the way, is either my opinion or it's Danielle's opinion. And it's really important, it's not to be taken as investing advice because I am not your financial advisor, nor have I considered your personal situation as your fiduciary. So remember that. You're on your own here. This podcast is for your entertainment and education only, and I really hope you enjoyed it.